Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid. You're watching SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Game time decision continues. I am Gabriel Renz. We're throwing it down with a raging redhead. Cam Stewart, thanks to George Kurtz for joining us in the first hour of the program. A lot of stuff to get you caught up to date with. Edmonton expected to host the Stanley Cup final. The doctor was in the house, the Rocket Mortgage, earlier in the day. Doc Redman gets it done. Making house calls, 7-under. Scott Stallings also 7-under. Kevin Kisner makes a return. 7-under, top of the leaderboard for Kevin Kisner. And we were a day late, a dollar short with DeChambeau leading after the first round. We'll get you caught up to date with the updated odds, courtesy of FanDuel. Talk some NBA basketball. We brought it up earlier. Zion is ripped right now. Things are coming together in Orlando, as are things are coming together with the UFC Fight Island as well. So a lot of stuff to bang on here, Cam. And I got something interesting, actually, too. This is sort of for prop players, Cam, and for fantasy players. Just sort of everybody, it sort of helps put in context, like, what 60 games is. Like, what is, you know what I mean? Like, what kind of numbers are people going to put up, right? Like, how many, you know, how many home runs is good? We, you and I talked about this in the past, actually. 20, we said, 20, what is 20 home runs?
Yeah,
yeah, like, you know, but they're going to set numbers for all this stuff, right? Over, under wins, home runs. Like, you know, when you're playing, a lot of guys are going to be playing fantasy baseball this year, especially because it's only 60 games, or they, you know, they, so it's quick. So I think you'll have a lot of people excited about this. So we'll sort of get into some of the numbers. We have a list of the best 60 game starts ever, to put in context, sort of to what to expect moving forward. The Washington Redskins are under pressure right now to change their name, and the pressure is coming. The pressure is coming from all over the place. Sponsors are stepping up and in. FedEx, who of course is the name of the stadium, is telling Snyder to change the name right now. But Roger Goodell, it's amazing to me that Roger Goodell doesn't see a free tap-in. Put it in golf terms, Cam. This is a tap-in, bro. Change the damn name. And you're not even going to get that many pats on the back, because it should have been done already. But it's amazing. Like, they don't do anything unless they have to. Like, you know what I mean? They still haven't signed Kaepernick. But they only did this thing, like, you know, like, they only do anything if they're completely forced to, Cam.
Excellent point you bring up. Here's the thing. So FedEx is threatening these guys. Nike's the equipment holder. They're threatening them. Pepsi does the beverages in the stadium. Where's Roger Goodell during all this stuff? You're the commissioner of the damn league. You're expecting these sponsors and the main ones to come. Gabe, this is a perfect opportunity to step in and say, you know what? It's not just the sponsors. This has gone on long enough. Let's end this thing. We need a new name. It is unacceptable to be called the Washington Redskins anymore. Crickets. I haven't heard anything. These are the sponsors talking. FedEx is stepping up and making the threats, not Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. It's the District of Columbia. So basically the District of Columbia is telling the Redskins, you can't play in Washington. You can't play in Washington, the city of in D.C., Washington, D.C., if you have this name. Virginia. So basically the states need to, like, crank it up a notch in the same way they had to do this to the Redskins in the 60s. But it's amazing to me just how tone-deaf Roger Goodell is in this, that you're getting a freebie on this, bro. And you can actually pretend that, you know, you're making some social change in a National Football League. Game Time Decisions Radio continues. I am Morenci. We're throwing it down with a raging redhead, Cam Stewart. We've got some golf odds to break down. You know, listen, we laid it down. We took Bryson DeChambeau to be leading after the first round at 19-1. We nearly got a piece of it. It was a day late and a dollar short, but he sits atop of the leaderboard right now, Cam, as far as the odds are concerned. Plus 250. He's the favorite right now. Webb Simpson is 12-1. Kevin Kisner is 14-1. Doc Redman's not winning. So, Doc, bye-bye. You're 16-1. Doc Redman reminds me of Mackenzie Hughes last week. You know what I mean? Strong first by when it was all said and done.
He played pretty good, though, Gabe. He finished in third. He hit like two snakes from 60 feet at the end, but you're right.
No, you're right.
Yeah. He played good.
Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, I agree with you.
What about Ricky? 18-1? Todd Hatton's 18-1 right now?
Yes. Yes. Those are good numbers. If you don't have a piece of Fowler and you know you've done pretty well and you got some money kicking around, that's a good price, Gabe. But I got two guys for you. One I'm already on and I watched a lot. Brendan Todd had one double bogey today. He's 4-under. I told you, when people get off the train, me and you want to board the train. He's 33-1. And watch out for Adam Hadwin at 37-1. Very good game for a course like this. He hits it right down the middle. He's got a great short game. Those are nice, juicy numbers. But I'm with you, Gabe. Fowler at 18-1 is a pretty good price. It looks like Ricky's dialed in so far.
So far, so good. We've got Ricky in the top 20, one of our props, prop bets here. Victor Hovland is at 27-1 right now. The Oklahoma State Cowboys, man, these guys are really taking over the PGA Tour. Well, they're not taking over. They don't win, but there's a lot of them. I'll tell you that much, Cam.
Yeah, Wolf, Fowler, Hovland. That's some pretty damn good talents right there, Morenci. Good young players at the Oklahoma State. Our boy Joe Ranieri. Yeah, go Cowboys.
You're forgetting about my boy, too. Christopher Ventura.
Oh, yeah, Ventura. And he's Norwegian, the same as Hovland.
He's Norwegian as well. Yes. You know what? He didn't play that badly. Last check, I think he was like 43rd or something like that.
Dude, he's 3-under. He played great. That's good. Good call here on Jesse the Body Ventura.
T46 right now, 3-under. Yeah, for Ventura, another Oklahoma State Cowboy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game Time Decisions continues. I'm Morenci. We're throwing it down with a raging redhead, Cam Stewart. You know, we're on the mend right now. We're recovering, but soreness is starting to kick in a little bit. I think I went back to normal. Yeah, I do. But you feel the discomfort after the fact. Yeah, you feel the discomfort after the fact. And sort of feel the stitches here. I don't know.
Let's just say everything's all right. You don't want to bite into a hard steak right now. Like you don't need to be fooling around with any hard cheeses or big cuts, tough cuts of meat. Nice soft things, you know, soft soups and things
no,
like
but
that.
It's only been like 48 hours. So they told me it would be a couple of days of extreme tenderness. But we'll get through it. You know, we'll battle. So, listen, the Meadowlands opened up today.
Wow.
To fans, I believe 25% capacity. And I saw people complaining on Twitter earlier in the day because there was lineups. Well, what the hell do you expect? Just 20. We called this. There's 25% capacity to get in, buddy. So, like, you better show up early because, you know, there's going to be hardcore people that are going to want to get in there. So I know one of our hardcore guys, Legendary Lindsay, is going down there. He's going to check in tonight on Sports Rage Late Night. We'll get an update of what it was like over at the Meadowlands with 25% capacity. I know Atlantic City opened up as well, the casinos can. But there's no food, no drinking, no smoking. So, but literally and figuratively. Like, so there's no, and, you know, listen, so no smoking, you know, a lot of casinos have that now, not all, but a lot do anyways, but not like there's no food or beverages. Like, they're that's not even open. Yeah, that's, so it's not like, okay, you can get a drink and you can go drink it outside. Or,
so what are you going to do?
No, no. There's no food. There's no beverage. You're solely gambling behind plexiglass with a mask on and everything.
Yeah.
Like, and I see people that are lining up to do this. It's like, bro, like, why are you doing this? Like, are you that much of a degenerate gambler? Like, why don't you just play online? Like, play, you know what I mean? Like, you can bet online. You can play casino games online, you know, with the same casinos you're going to, you know, with reputable people, right? Like, I don't understand that. Like, and to me, so, I like going to a casino because of the band, because of the drinks, because of the party, because of, like, the atmosphere. I don't go to a casino solely to gamble, right? Like, that, you know, that's just the...
It's everything.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, without food, without beverage. And the problem is, too, in Vegas, they want you to wear a mask, but you got to take the mask off to drink. So then it defeats the purpose of wearing a mask in the first place. Casinos are a bad place to be in right now. Air conditioning is not good. It spreads the virus. Everybody knows this. Yet casino operators don't really care because you're going to leave. Right? Like, that Vegas doesn't care. Like, you'll get it, you'll leave, you'll go back to your hometown with it, right?
See you later. Enjoy your trip back to Nebraska. He gone. No, you said it, Gabe. Like, say me and you go to the blackjack table. You got plexiglass, I got plexiglass. It's kind of like a community thing. It's like when you go to the sports book and we're all in the same game and, you know, you have your drink, cheers, whatever. Playing blackjack behind glass with a mask without a beverage to me is not fun. Why the hell would I want to go there? You said it too. Talk about Legionnaires' disease and all the things that happen through air conditioning ducts and units. That's a disaster waiting to happen, and it's not fun. We can't even celebrate a winning hand when the dealer busts. We just sit there like robots. I have no idea why people would want to go. To me, that is not fun at all. I just pass. I'm not going back to the casinos till they open up full-fledged and I can play the way I want to play and meet people and have a good time.
Well, that's going to be a couple of years. That'll be, until there's a vaccine, right? Until it's pretty much 2 years down the road. Like, life will be back to normal again. We're not, it won't, like, be like this forever, but it's going to be a couple of years. Supposedly, there's a vaccination coming in December or by the end of the year, but doesn't mean you're going to get your hands on it. And then, secondly, a lot of people won't take the vaccination. They won't trust it, right? So they're not going to take it anyways. So it'll be interesting to see what, you know, how this develops over the next couple of years. But it's a lot like 9/11. Like, people said, oh, no one will ever travel again. Like, you know, everything's going to be different. And it was different for a little while. But a sense of normalcy always returns after the fact. All right. So let's get into some of these baseball numbers here. Some, you know, interesting stuff as far as the most home runs, most hits, best batting average, most strikeouts, etc., in the first 60 games of a season before. And in fact, the guy that hit the most home runs, Matt Olson of the Oakland Athletics, 24 home runs, if you remember, in 2017. He was a rookie. He played 59 games. He hit 259, but he smashed 24 home runs in that span. 24 home runs and just 310 at bats. Pretty impressive numbers right there. Because we were talking about how the prop will probably be about 19 and a half or so, 20 and a half. I think they'll put it right around there. Last year, actually, Bo Bichette set a record. 18 doubles in the first 60 games. Actually, a Major League Baseball record. He was a doubles machine.
He sure is. Yep. I think it's great.
Doubles machine.
I'm going to tell you, Gabe. Watch some of those teams, too. You talk about the Twins and their home run power. Like, just looking around, you could see some guys like Sano to lead. Like, these guys aren't like 5 and 10 to 1. Like, I've seen some 30s, 40s. Like, shop around. This is very interesting. You're going to get some big numbers on some bombers, and it's over 60 games. If a guy gets on a heater, buddy, we could be cashing. I think we could find a lot of very, very juicy numbers with these shortened season statistics.
So you look at wins. Doubles, 18 is the record. Eight triples in 1922. Eight triples in 1922. You have to go back a long time. Triples are sort of a thing of the past. Stolen bases are a thing of the past as well. Yes. Eric Davis, actually, is the guy that had the most stolen bases in the first 16 games of a season. It wasn't even that many. you would have figured it would have been like Ricky Henderson or one of these other great base stealers. But Eric Davis in 1985, 16 stolen bases. Malik Smith of the Mariners is a guy keep your eye on this year.
Yep.
As far as stolen bases are concerned, home runs allowed. This is pretty crazy. Eichhoff last year, Jared Eichhoff for the Philadelphia Phillies. It's hard to do. He gave up 18 home runs. 18 home runs in the first 60 games of the season.
Oh, that's horrible. Man, that guy gives up the long ball. That's bad.
Man. Yeah, like as far as wins are concerned, 9 wins in the first 60 games is the record. 9 wins. So, like, if you're a pitcher, you're playing 60 games, that's like 12 starts. If everything, if no games were rained out, you played every game, you never missed a start, it would be 12 starts. And the problem is, guys, now pitchers aren't going to get wins. It's something for, like, fantasy players to think about.
Yeah.
And they're not going to get wins because there's going to be like massive pitch counts, right? So these guys are only going to be pitching in 12 games. They're not going to want to screw around and get their pitchers hurt early in this short season. They're going to want to have them late for the stretch drive and then for the playoffs. I don't see anyone winning 9 out of 12 games. Like, I'd be surprised if anybody wins more than 6 or 7 games, to be honest. And you're going to see it's going to be a million bullpen pitchers, Cam, pitching all the time.
You said it. The Tampa Bay Rays formula, buddy. Get in there. 2 innings for you, 2 innings for you. Yeah, we're going to go spot starter here. You throw your pitches, he's gone. That recipe worked for Tampa Bay. It's a copycat league. Everyone's going to do it, Marantz. You said it. You got to save those arms for the end, and I think a lot of teams are going to go down that road. I agree. If you're in fantasy leagues, you can't go for pitchers early. You got to take these guys late. Go for the bats.
You know what? It's very difficult. Tampa did this a couple of years ago. I remember, we'll get into it later. I remember when they did it, and I was like, oh, these guys have hit rock bottom, right? They're really desperate, except it worked. It actually worked. But the thing is, it's difficult because you run out of arms. So it's hard over 162 games to start your bullpen every day, right? Like, you know, it just, guys are going to get burnt out. But now, in a 60-game season, and especially the Rays, they have a pretty deep farm system as well. They scout so well, so their minor league guys are ready to step in. And you're going to see, man, I bet you the Rays use, you know, like 15 pitchers, 20 pitchers type of stuff through 60 games. Like you said, they'll just have guys go an inning, all right? You know, you're going to go an inning tomorrow again. 2 innings here, 1 inning there. We'll break it down the other side. Game time decision continues.
You call these bagels?
Bagels and bad beats.
You want to think NASCAR is filled with a bunch of dopes? Yes. That's better than being thought that there's actually racists out there putting up nooses all over the place.
The Sports Grid Network.
You're watching Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
Hey guys, Cam Stewart, there's Sports Grid news and betting update. You want that edge? Get on the grid. The NBA close to agreeing on a second bubble setup for the city of Chicago. It will host the 8 teams not in participating in the Orlando restart. 9 more NBA players testing positive for coronas. So 344 players were tested between June 24th and 29th. That amounted to 2.6% of a positive rate. But overall, 25 players have tested positive on the whole since testing began June 23rd. The NBA's 22 remaining teams set to arrive at Walt Disney World in Orlando between July 7th and 9th. And MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred, he's walking it back. Remarks made when he said the MLB had no intention of playing more than 60 games. He now says he meant they'd be lucky if they finished the 60 games. MLB training camps were shut down, but a lot of the league's best, they got in their work. Scherzer, Goldschmidt, Giancarlo Stanton, and Justin Verlander, they worked out secretly in Palm Beach, Florida, training at Eric Cressy Sports Performance Gym, and they even played games at Palm Beach High School, and no COVID cases reported during those preseason sessions there. MLB players back to their home ballparks for summer camp. They prep for opening day, which kicks off July 23rd. We got some interesting stuff coming out of Washington, breaking stories. FedEx came out today independently as well with a bunch of other companies, and they say it is time for the Washington Redskins. They have to change their name. FedEx owns the franchise stadium rights for the Redskins. A group of 87 investment firms and shareholders have signed 3 different letters from FedEx including Nike and Pepsi as well. They want to change the Redskins' names. These companies have threatened to terminate their business relationship with the Washington team if they do not change it. The Washington has used their word, the team name Redskins, since 1933. And the site of RFK Stadium is where team owner Daniel Snyder's preferred location at a renovated stadium. However, several district officials said that Snyder won't have access to the federally owned land unless he changes the team's name. No Bills Mafia games. That's not going to happen. Buffalo Bill fans will not be allowed to watch their Bills in stadium. The league also asking fans, we talked about this yesterday, to sign COVID-19 waivers if they do want to allow fans to enter the stadium to watch NFL games. Hockey news, the city of Edmonton, they're going to host the conference finals and Stanley Cup final this summer. The NHL and NHLPA also working towards a new collective bargaining agreement. Training camps July 10th. Rocket Mortgage Classic round one, three-way tie. We got Kisner, Doc Redman, and Scott Stallings all at -7. Tournament favorite Bryson DeChambeau opened up 6-1 on FanDuel. He's just one back at 6 under. European soccer action today, a big one of heavy hitters in the EPL. Manchester City, they hammered Liverpool 4-0, and Sheffield United, they took care of Tottenham 3-1 the final there. I'm Cam Stewart. That's your Sports Grid News update. Now back to Gabe Morency on Game Time Decisions on the Grid.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Morency. We're throwing it down with a raging redhead, Cam Stewart. We were just talking about the Meadowlands opening up in the FanDuel Sportsbook. I believe they're allowed 25% capacity. I would expect, you know, you see more and more right now the acceptance of sports gambling, even in Bible Belt states, and especially now with the economy, the economy's being hit the way that they have been hit. You know, sports betting is a great way to make up for lost revenues. And I figure we'll just do a quick blast through here because we've got a couple of updates. So it somewhat surprises me, actually. So Alabama has legislation on the table right now in which bettors will be able to bet on pro and college sporting events. Hey. Legislation has been proposed. No time expected. It's not like there's a vote coming, but it's on the table at least. So looks like Alabama. This one surprises me here. Alaska. You can't bet. No, in Alaska, Cam. And but it is under consideration right now because you can basically do whatever you want. You can smoke meth and, like, you know, ride around with a shotgun and.
Yeah,
you know, like you can do whatever the hell you want in Alaska. It surprised me they already let you bet on sports there. Like Alaska's a, like, land for nut jobs.
I learned this a long time ago, Gabe. When you live in a community like that, it's for a lot of people that are running away from something in their life. You meet them, it's
exactly.
Like, is this guy the guy I saw on Unsolved Mysteries who, like, murdered his family? Like, you run into a lot of grifters, a lot of weird people, isolationists. But I'm with you. It's like, you live in this state. Why can't somebody in a state like Alaska that has no professional teams, they should be able to bet on anything that moves? I think that's absolutely crazy that they don't. Hey, it gets kind of boring, you know? You got no teams and whatever. I think they should be able to do what they want. Weird. I'm surprised Alaska, it's not legal.
All right, so it is under consideration. Yeah. Arizona, not legal, but legislation has been proposed. Arkansas, yes, sir. Arkansas, yes. Taking sports bets over at the Oaklawn Racing track. Oaklawn Park, yes. And Racing, yeah, and Casino. There, you can bet over there. California to me is, like, ridiculous that they don't.
They're unbelievable.
Yeah, like, it's you can say the same thing in New York, but New York, New Jersey, whatever, you know, it's fine. Because, like, New York and New Jersey, guys, it's not difficult to go to New Jersey from New York City. Thing is, it is difficult to go to Nevada from California. So the amount of money that gets taken out of the state of California is beyond ridiculously stupid. So looks like they're going to have a referendum. There's going to be a state vote on whether, and, you know, come on. So California, they legalize weed, they legalize gay marriage, they legalize everything. You can marry a tree in California. They have, like, 17 nice. Bathrooms for 17 different sexes, but what, they don't have sports betting.
You can marry
and
a tree.
And not there's anything wrong with that. I don't mind. You want to marry a tree, go ahead. I got no pee.
A tree doesn't
matter. Go to the bathroom wherever you want to go. But I'm just stating, In California, you can do whatever the hell you want, but no, not sports bet. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
I got a question for you. What's Nevada's handle with people from California with their little weekend in-and-outers there and all the money? Like, what kind of side deals does Nevada have with California? Like, honestly, if California legalizes gambling, that's a big, big punch to Nevada's face. They got so many people from California gambling there, right?
Yeah, it's about 30, 35%.
Yeah.
Like about 30 to 35%, about a third of the people staying in a hotel in Vegas on the weekend are from California. But you just hit the nail. What it is, Kev, is exactly that. That the operators in Nevada, donate money to the politicians in California to block it.
Of course they, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, so they're like, no. Like, so they'll donate money, like in another state. Right, to block it there, which at this point is just ridiculous because it's an open market. I mean, MGM, FanDuel, all these companies can operate in whatever market they want. They apply for a license and you know what I mean? So this days of monopoly per states is just stupid and gone. So basically, I find it interesting here which states are like resisting this, and there's not too many actually. So Colorado is legal. Connecticut, not legal, but legislation proposed. Delaware, legal. Florida is always chaotic. Florida is another one. Like, Florida would be a big hotbed of sports betting. But the thing is, in Cam in Florida, the Seminole tribe, they don't play around.
Exactly.
They basically said, if anyone's do it, we do it. And nobody else does it. And some politicians are like, no, we're tired of the tribe telling us what to do all the time. And other politicians are like, well, if they're not happy, we're not doing it. Like, we can't do this. Like, they control gaming in the state, and they donate. They contribute so much money politically, Cam, right? So
yes,
they're figuring it out in Georgia. You know what they did last time? They said, do you want to legalize sports betting in Florida? But they put it on a bill with, like, defunding poor kids and school buses.
That's the oldest trick in the book. It's horrible.
I want sports betting, but we can't have these kids starve to death, right? And they're all right. So so now next time they're going to make it where it's like a standalone vote type of thing because it'll pass.
Yeah,
Georgia, not legal. The legislation proposed. Hawaii, same thing. How about this? Idaho. No, they don't want you and me in Idaho, Cam. No legislation proposed. Not legal.
What do they do? What are you doing in Idaho? I don't think there's a lot of gamblers maybe in Idaho. I don't know. Like, don't they bet Boise State football? I don't know, Gabe.
You know a state that's been rocking, actually, is Michigan. Michigan legalized weed. They legalized sports betting. They've got it all rocking in Michigan.
Yep, they're smart. Michigan, they understand. Their state needed a lift.
Michigan had bad luck, though. Michigan legalized sports betting like a week before the NCAA tournament started. That never happened. They were in a rush. They passed through the bill fast. Gretchen Whitmer, she did a good job. They passed the bill fast, and they were like, no. We're gonna open up right away and do this. We already have. We can pull it off. And they did. They took bets for one day on that Wednesday. You believe that, Cam? They opened up sports betting in the state of Michigan. Michigan's got worse luck than you and me. Like, the state of Michigan always has bad luck. And they opened up for sports betting on March 11th. That was that Wednesday that everything stopped. So they took a couple of future bets. Jalen Rose placed a bet. The governor bet on the tide. You know what I mean? Everyone placed their little novelty bets. A couple of bettors came in and bet on futures. And then the next day they got shut down. Sports were gone. It was like, we got to close the place because COVID's running rampant in Michigan.
Oh, that's so bad. You're right. That's awful.
I'm looking here. Idaho seems to be the only place that, like, isn't moving on it right now. Like, everywhere else, proposal in progress, about to happen, etc. Tennessee, legal. They passed it in Tennessee, but they haven't started. They haven't opened up yet.
Yep.
But it's passed. They're just putting the apps together now. So Tennessee, okay, this is interesting. Tennessee only allowing online betting and apps. No sports books. No casino, yeah, not a casino, but you can bet online. Mm-hmm. It's not as smart, okay. Not a problem there. Yep. Texas, okay. Not legal, but legislation proposed. They like how much them. Money? Like,
big,
man, in Texas. Like,
state
man,
of Texas?
Gold,
oh, my
gold
God.
Mine.
Oh, my God. I know.
Like, I mean, the state of Texas, guys.
Texas.
You're telling me you don't want the Dallas Cowboy money and the Texas Longhorn money? That's a lot of monies. You guys are morons that it's not legal.
Yeah.
You're morons.
Yeah, we go, Gabe, we'd be like on the committee. We open up our like spare room. We got gold bricks there. You said it. It's a license to print money. Like, think about the money in Texas, the teams. Oh, man. That's unbelievable. Yeah. Make it happen.
Vermont, not legal legislation proposed, but there's no push. No one cares in Vermont. Like there's
now they're smoking weed and hugging. You said it. They're married to trees too, in a different way. Yeah.
They eat Ben and Jerry's ice cream. They don't care.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
State of Washington. Not surprised me. The state of Washington has it already. They're a pretty progressive state. DC is legal. West Virginia legal. Wisconsin. Wisconsin. Not legal, and they're not in the process. They have no interest.
See, that shocks me because when we go to Vegas,
and
there's
here's
a
this.
Lot
here's
of people
the other,
from
last
Wisconsin
day, Kev.
That gamble. Yep.
How about this? Not only is it not legal, it lost. They had a vote, and it lost. Wyoming. No sports betting. They're not doing it. It got voted down, and they're not. It's not up for vote again.
Nah, we won't be living in Laramie. I can tell you that. That's not on the.
Yeah, I won't even be going to Laramie now.
we won't even make it. We won't make a trip. To Laramie,
I spent a month there one night a couple of years ago. As they say,
yes, you did.
As they say, very very mountainous out there. So basically,
yeah, not pretty.
Sports betting is pretty much legal, or it will be legal in every state. Except Wyoming and Idaho.
Unbelievable.
And it seems like Vermont just doesn't care. Like, they're not for it or against it. Like, Vermont basically says, like, they passed it, but they didn't do anything with it. Like, they're weirdos in Vermont.
Yeah. How's Bob doing? Is he still call in? Or?
As I'm saying, they're weirdos in Vermont. Game time decisions continues. Get on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decision continues. I am Lorenzo. We're throwing it down to Reggie Redhead, that Cam Stewart. So we were talking earlier about the NBA, and they actually did bring their own hardwood floors. Each team brought in their own hardwood floors to Orlando, wow. As you can see. You know, they're setting up. There's the Pacers floor. I think there's the Phoenix Suns over there, the Clippers as well. Yep. Setting up a bunch of practice courts. And, you know, they're going to have multiple arenas to use. There could be games going on at the same time, practices going on at the same time if needed. So you see the setup is starting to come together right now. We're just we're a little less than a month away from the return of the NBA. July 31st is the first games back. But Zion Williamson. So we got Zion Williamson. And here's Zion Williamson. Now, coming out of Duke, the big knock on Zion, one of the knocks was, well, he's kind of chubby. He's kind of a fat kid. Yeah, he's not in shape.
Yep.
His conditioning isn't great. Well, it didn't take much, Cam, because look, 3.5 months of a pandemic, and Zion Williamson is ripped. Like, Zion Williamson, essentially, if for those of you on the radio right now, we're on TV and radio. When you get home or whenever you get a chance, just take a look at Zion. But he basically looks like Dwight Howard now. Not quite as big as Dwight Howard, but essentially he's ripped as Dwight Howard. There's like no body fat. He's all muscle. And thing with Zion that I find really interesting is he is very special in the sense that you look at the last two great players in the NBA, let's say sort of generation-defining, culture-changing players, Michael Jordan and LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they're not similar, there's similarities between their games with people. Like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant's game were very similar. LeBron James and Magic Johnson. Like when you see LeBron James, you're like, man, he's like Magic Johnson, except even sort of more athletic. You know, he can pass, he can do this, he's 6'9". You can sort of typecast these guys and say, you know, he's this type of player, he's like that guy. I've been watching basketball a long time, Cam. Zion, really, he's not like anybody. He really is his own guy. Like, I've never really seen anyone like this where, no, he's not. And it's funny because he said that, and he didn't mean it cocky. They said, are you the next LeBron? He said, I'm the next Zion. That's what he said. He said, I'm the next me. Like, yeah, I'm not the next anybody. I'm the next me. But he didn't mean it like in an egotistical way. He said, I'm my own person. I'm not the next anybody. I'm the next Zion Williamson, he said. But he really is. Like, Cam, I'm just stating, like, he's not really a shooter. He's not a slasher. Doesn't really play defense. Everything. He doesn't, like, he's, and another thing is, he doesn't really do anything well. Like, not great. And I don't mean that despairingly, which I mean is actually, like, freaking scary. That it's not, like, you can't say, like, oh, yeah, he's a great shooter. He's not a great shooter. You know what I mean? Oh, he's a great this. He's a great that. No, he's not. Yet, the kid played 19 games in the NBA coming off of an injury and averaged 23.6 points per game, guys. You know how hard it is to do that?
Exactly. He does it quietly, too. Like, you watch the game. You know what I've noticed about him, to your point? He can look just, you know, better than guys on the court, but not to, like, Kobe or Michael Jordan, whatever. And then you sit back and go, the guy's got 28 points, and he barely played. Like, it's, you know what I mean? But you're watching the game going, he kind of does it in a weird way. It's like he will impress you, but I agree with what your point is. It's like not coming off the screen. He does everything well, but not, yeah, it's hard to describe.
Well, my point is
exactly what you're saying.
My point is he's a kid, and he's already scoring 23 points a game. And that number is even kind of low, the average of 23.6, because before the lockdown, and I know because I was betting his prop every night, you know, he was checking in at 27, 28. It was getting closer to 30
a night.
And that was with other teams trying to stop him and him not being in shape, just getting in the NBA. Like, there's something, like, you know, it's hard to describe an it factor, but number one, his number one attribute, actually, though, is his, like, wingspan and his length, Cam. So he's 6'8". And he doesn't look 6'8 because he's chunky, kind of. But he is 6'8, right? So, 6'6". 6'6", but his wingspan, and he doesn't even look 6'6". Like, he's 6'4", whatever. He's kind of chunky. But for a 6'6 kid, that wingspan, when he jumps, Cam, he gets, like, 13 feet in the air, it appears. Like, he literally jumps over the basket, right? So he gets 14 points, like, 3 points a game. Like, just these little alley-oops. And it's interesting, 6'6", because, of course, Jordan was 6'6", too, right? And I don't even know, is Zion really 6'6", or is he, like, really, like, 6'5"-ish? With the wingspan.
What about that? They usually lie.
But, yeah, like, his jumping, like, if he could be a long jumper, bro. Like, you know, when you see him, like, standing in one spot and jumping to another spot, like, he's incredibly athletic. He doesn't look athletic, but he is athletic. And I'm just saying, like, when he develops a three-point shot and he develops a post-up game and he develops, like, you know, they get into pick and rolls. Dude, 19 games, he was a kid. He was scoring these points on grown men who were trying to stop him. Very, very impressive. Like, this guy's going to lead the league in scoring, bro. Like, he's going to put up, like, 30 points a game, this kid.
Oh, yeah. Maybe, Beal is averaging 30 and a half. When Zion figures it all out, Gabe, like 32, 33, that's not out of the realm of possibility. And another thing is, Take a look at what we've talked about. This guy came in. He has totally transformed his body, very similar to Gasol and Lowry, the way he looks. This team, the Pelicans, young guys working together. That's what we're talking about. Not only does the NBA want these guys to do well, it seems like these guys are figuring it out too. Very dangerous team in a shortened season in the bubble in Orlando. And they don't seem like the young team that's going to go out and go, hey, man, let's leave the bubble and grab some chicks and do that. I see Zion. He's an all business type of guy. And this team, they're growing together. Very, very scary. I think the Pelicans, you don't want to play these guys right now.
Zion Williamson is, he's lived up to the hype so far. And it's been brief. It's been brief, but you look at John Morant. John Morant's like tweeting out after the police and stuff like that. See, you know, you look at Zion. If you're a company, you can build a brand around the kid, and you know he's gonna be a billionaire. This kid, he's gonna be a billionaire before it's all said and done. With his personality, he's got that. He's a nice kid, so he's got a good personality. He's got a good smile. He's got that sort of Magic Johnson. Happy, right. I'm a happy kid, happy smile. Like, you can put him, like, I'm talking about, like, big companies, like Michael Jordan type stuff. Like, I'm talking about, like, McDonald's, right? Zion Williamson Nike with McDonald's. A Big Mac. Pepsi, yep. Coca-Cola, like, Cola. The real big. I'm not talking about just a shoe deal here and a couple of things there. No. I'm talking Fat about, guess. Like, corporate America. Movies, sort of like LeBron now. Like put it this way, like maybe there's a Space Jam in 10 years, Space Jam 3 with Zion type of thing.
Exactly.
Like, I think he's
already on the cover of the video game.
Yeah, he can be that big. He can be that big. And seeing the work that he has put in now, ultra impressive. Ultra impressive. There's not a shadow of a doubt, in my opinion, that they're going to get in. They're going to get into the playoffs. FanDuel has the prop up. Will they make the playoffs? It's designed for them to get in almost. Cut it to within, they don't have to pick up any games. They just have to basically stay even, and they're going to get into a playoff series, into that play-in series with the Memphis Grizzlies. And the Pelicans have the easiest schedule out of any team going back. And it's not set up that way. It was basically, the Pelicans paid the price earlier in the year, guys. The Pelicans played like the Lakers every second night, man. Like, I remember, like, watching the Pelicans. I was like, man, these guys, like, have a tough schedule. They're always playing, like, someone hard, like, on TV somewhere. And now, you know, now they get to reap the benefits of this. And their schedule is a little bit easier than everyone else down the stretch. It's still plus 290 right now, which is not bad still. It was higher. It was, like, plus 420, man, like a month ago. But you can get the Pelicans at plus 290 to make the playoffs. And I think they will make the playoffs, Ken. The Pelicans are going to get in, and then you're going to get, and hopefully we see this because it'll be sick. And Kevin Walsh might doubt it, but I'm telling you, the Pelicans will give the Lakers all they can handle. They're going to give them all that they can handle. We're going to take the over in every game. It's going to be freaking track meets, but the Pelicans have nothing to lose. And don't forget, the Pelicans are a bunch of kids that got traded by LeBron that LeBron didn't like. LeBron didn't like Lonzo Ball. LeBron didn't like Brandon Ingram being around scoring and stuff like that. They know that. Mm-hmm. They know. LeBron tried to trade us for 2 years. And now we get to play him in the playoffs, and we got nothing to lose. And, we got to rip Zion now, too? I'm telling you, man. I'll bet him. I'll put my money on the Pelicans in the series. But I'll take them plus the points in these games. And I think it'll go seven games. I think especially coming off the layoff too. You never know what can happen here. The Pelicans were like 13-2 in their last 15 games before the shutdown, Cam. They were rolling this team.
They were rolling. They were kicking ass. And I'll tell you another thing, Morenci, when they played the Lakers, even though losing those games, growing pains, they played them tight, always going down to the last seconds of a game. LeBron would hit a shot. These guys aren't afraid. That's the thing, right? And what happens? If Davis has an injury, something can happen with the Lakers. And you talk about it. They're no lock. I want to bet on the young kids too. I'll be taking the points in these games, and I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for the Lakers. I think every game will be hard fought, and I'll take the points with the dog.
I'm looking forward to seeing what Zion Williamson can do in the limited amount of time in these eight games with the schedule that they have. you know, they could go 6-2 and put a lot of pressure on the Memphis Grizzlies. Memphis Grizzlies are a good basketball team, though. You know, they've got Morant. They've got Jonas Valanciunas. They've got Jackson. Yes. They've got some good players. They're a well-coached team. And all they have to do is not completely fall apart, right? They, you know, if they can just go, they go 5-3, they go 6-2, they're going to put the Pelicans in a tough spot. But the NBA created this for excitement, and I think we're going to end up getting these play-in series. And you look at the Brooklyn Nets roster, bro, they're going to be like 2-6 or something like that. Like, if Bradley Beal shows up, like, you can make the playoffs last year if you want to. Like, you know, all you guys got to do is go 4-4 and you can get in. They got to make up two games. The Wizards have to make up two games on Brooklyn only. And they Brooklyn don't have anybody. They don't even have anybody. So basically, Cam, look, if the Brooklyn Nets go 2-6, the Washington Wizards just need to go 4-4 and they have a play-in series.
And they could do that.
It's not asking a lot. Yeah, and the thing is, this Brooklyn team, they might not even go 2-6, Cam. It might be worse. Like, it could be real bad. He's got coronavirus.
He's a trooper. Yeah, he does. He does that for another guy. Yeah.
You know, he says he hasn't tapped out yet. I think Dinwiddie is a baller. I think he will play if he can, but he's not going to make a difference. Yeah, I mean, at that point, if you're Dinwiddie and you're the only guy, you got Caris LeVert as well. You've got LeVert as well. People are hammering Orlando in this first game. Orlando are playing Brooklyn in the first game up. And at last we checked, it was up to like 4.5 now. So, yeah, the Pelicans are plus 290 to make the playoffs. And we're talking about the Washington Wizards. The Washington Wizards are plus 750 to make the playoffs right now.
That's nice. That's juicy.
It's not bad. It's not 17-1. It's not 17, but it's not bad. Game time decisions continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, I almost shudder to think and to read these, Cam. I shouldn't have asked people what the Washington Redskins' name was. I was hoping for real names, but you know what I mean? Yeah, we're getting a lot of stuff I can't read on here, bro.
I expected that.
Yeah. There's quite a few. This one's not bad, Tony. About this, the Washington Ovech Skins. Instead of Ovechkin, Ovechkins. The Ovechkins. I brought up the Washington Warriors, and Izzy brings up a good point. He says Warriors is close, Generals. But it's not racist. The Washington Generals?
Generals, like the basketball team, man. Generals.
Yeah, but Cam, the Washington Generals are known as like the worst team in the history of sports.
So are the Washington Redskins, Gabe.
I set that one up. I'm aware. Yeah we did. Put that on a tape.
DeChambeau, down the like fairway, the baby.
You know, like the Washington Generals changed their name. Like the Harlem Globetrotters don't play them anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know what we got to get on top of this.
Yes.
Washington Generals, it's like I said, they've lost like 500 games in a row. I know you think it's fitting for the Redskins.
Yes.
Except it, Cam, it's the Bravehearts, okay? It's the Washington Bravehearts. I know what your problem is.
You think it's cool? No, it's awful.
No, it's a stupid name.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
It's stupid. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It's a kid's name.
All right, so I see people.
Exactly.
I see people asking about the late night Sports Rage radio show as well as Scotty Farrell. Check out the Sports Grid YouTube page, Sports Grid Radio, Sports Grid Radio YouTube page. For all the information, go over to sportsgrid.com as well. You can check out Scotty Farrell, yours truly, and Bagels and Bad Beats. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.
You call these bagels?
Bagels and Bad Beats.
You want to think NASCAR is filled with a bunch of dopes? Yes. That's better than being thought that there's actually racists out there putting up nooses all over the place.
The Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.